News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we had somebody held on during the break, and I appreciate their time. And his name is Phil from Huntsville. So let me grab that real quick. Phil, how you doing today?
Hey, man.
You doing all right?
Yeah, I got a question for you here. Actually, sure. I got a comment for you.
Okay.
I wanted to know, are we going to hold Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, are we going to say that they're colluding with the protesters? And are we going to say that there is an insurrection in the fact that they are not saying that people need to stop going to the Supreme Court Justice's house? Because that's kind of the same thing as what happened on January 6th, isn't it?
You would think at the very least they're trying to sway opinions. That's exactly what they're trying to do. And you know,
yep.
I mean, that word insurrection is almost overused nowadays, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, but you know, we got to call it for what it is. You want to have all them testifying. Why don't we start bringing them idiots up? And that should be a good thing that you have Katie Britt on there for, and you have Mo, and you have, let's don't worry about Mike Durant. But let's just say you got them on there, and let's just see where they fall. You know, would they want to go if they have the House and the Senate and bring them up on insurrection charges for this in itself?
It may not be insurrection, but I think they would certainly be demanding that there be some investigation as to why it was allowed to happen without anybody trying to stop it. Now, we're hearing that they've put up, you know, more police protection, but at the very least, you'd think the president of the freaking United States could make a statement like, don't do this, but he won't do it right now.
That's exactly right, and I'm telling you what. I've said it before, and I'm saying it again. We're getting closer and closer and closer to a mighty, mighty battle in the United States of America.
Well, and I hope that's not true, but at the very least, I know we have some polarized politics, and we got to make sure that we are not sitting idly by. We've got to make sure our voices are heard. All right, hey, Phil, thanks for the call, man. Appreciate you being in the audience. Thanks for holding on during the break. Hey, listen, I'm going to go back to an article that I started earlier. And by the way, the phone lines are open. You want to call in, you got a comment, 866-494-9866. 866-494-9866. All right. Article that I pulled off of NPR. Yes, I did. I pulled it off of NPR. It's not like I hang out there a lot, but I went there today. All right. So it's interesting because this article, I was doing the segment earlier, number two on the Triple Dipper, what kind of politics do we want? Well, it appears that if Pew Research is correct, that there are, yes, two major parties that run our politics, but within the membership of those two parties, you find different factions. And that's true. That's why you have, you know, up in D.C., you have a Freedom Caucus. Well, you also have the Problem Solvers Caucus. You have any number of other caucuses. I like to call them the cocci, or meeting. And you know, down in Mobile, or in Montgomery, we have different caucuses that have different interests within the body. That being said, what about the constituencies? What about the general public? Do they break down into factions? So here's the thing. Pew Research came up with a variety of categories, and after their study, using more than 10,000 surveys over an 11-day period in July of last year, they came up with what they believe are 9 different categories. It says that Get with me here. So it says that 10% of the public calls themselves or would consider themselves to be what they call a faith and flag conservative. 7% are committed conservatives. 11% are populist right. 12% are the ambivalent right. Wow. 15% are stressed sideliners, which I guess are the ones sitting in the middle trying to figure out what to do. 10% are outsider left. 16% are Democrat mainstays. 13% are establishment liberals, and 6% progressive left. So what do these even mean? Let me just pick a couple of them. I'm not going to do the whole thing. This is like a 5-page article. And like I said, you can find it on NPR. The title of it is, Feel Like You Don't Fit in Either Political Party? Here's Why. Story on NPR dated last November. All right, so here's the thing. How about faith and flag conservatives? These are folks, they say, that tend to be the oldest in the age of Republican-leaning groups. They're deeply conservative on nearly all issues. They're religious, and they would prefer Christianity to be front and center in public life. They're very politically engaged. Nearly 9 out of 10 believe that who controls Congress after next year's midterms, that's this year's midterms, really matters. They're overwhelmingly white and Christian. and they're among Trump's strongest supporters, and roughly 4 in 5 say that too much attention has been paid to the January 6th insurrection. Okay, so far I'm a faith and flag conservative. But then they have what they call the committed conservatives, which is a slightly lesser category. Highly educated, loyal Republicans, very politically active. 8 in 10 believe the results of the 2022 midterms really matters. They're very pro-business. They want limited government. They're less restrictive on immigration. They're more globalist. They're less enthusiastic about Trump, but they're big fans of Ronald Reagan. Interesting. Let me skip on down to the ambivalent right. The ambivalent right, if this Pew Research study would be correct, seems to be the youngest and most among the least religious and politically active of Republican-leaning groups. In other words, they're there. If you go to the polls, they're going to identify as Republicans, but they're really not in. They don't identify typically as conservative politically, but they are conservative economically on issues of race and in that they prefer smaller government. They're more moderate than other Republicans on immigration, abortion, same-sex marriage, and marijuana. They lean towards the GOP, but they're not enamored of it. And the only GOP-oriented group to say that President Biden definitely or probably legitimately received the most votes in 2020. How about that? That's interesting. Now, let me hit a few of these on the other side of the spectrum. Before I do that, though, I got to get the one in the middle, because this one cracks me up. The name of this group is called the Stressed Sideliners. I would call them the hand wringers, I guess. But it says these are the ones who are financially stressed and tend to tilt left economically, but conservative socially. Okay. They're the group to which Hispanic Republicans are most likely to belong. They are largely disengaged from politics. Only about 4 in 10 voted in 2020, and fewer than half believe the results of 2022 midterms really matter. I'm not sure that I would just say that these are folks who don't know what they want. I would call them, I don't know what I want, hand-wringers. Copper, I'm not sure what you would call them, but I'm going to call them the I don't know what I want, hand-wringers.
That's reasonable.
That works. Okay. All right, but then just a couple more, and we'll wrap this thing up. So on the other side of the spectrum, you have the progressive left, the establishment liberals, the Democrat mainstays, and the outsider left. Well, the progressive left, you can imagine. They're young and highly educated. 4 in 5 call themselves liberal. 42%, they are very liberal. They're the largest Democratic group to say it backed Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. They're very politically engaged. They believe 2022 midterms really matter. More than 2/3 are white, and they are extremely liberal in their policy positions. I could have predicted every bit of that. And then there's the establishment liberals and the Democrat mainstays. And then there's what they call the outsider left. What does that mean? They're the youngest of the groups that lean Democratic. They're liberal, especially on issues of race, immigration, and climate. They're less politically active than other Democrat groups. They are less reliable voters. They're more likely to identify as independents, and when they do vote, they tend to break Democrat. They're not thrilled with the Democrat or Republican parties, or the country, for that matter. That's interesting. And most say that other countries are better than the U.S., and almost 9 in 10 don't feel there's candidates who represent their views. That's because the candidates are running for office in the United States, and they don't believe the United States is the best country. So I'm just saying there's not a candidate for you if you want to live in France. All right, there it is. I'm just saying there are all kinds of factions. There's stuff out there. There are things that, you know, Republican, Democrat, and then within the two, where are you? And right now, depending upon who you believe and what you listen to, you got the three major candidates for U.S. Senate, Katie Britt, Mike Durant, Mo Brooks. There are other candidates in the list, but those are the three. One of those three is going to be your next U.S. Senator. But then you've got the candidates for governor, you know, which is a whole slew of them. How about you know, Kay Ivey versus, say, a Tim James or a Lou Burdett or a Lindy Blanchard? There's an epic level of difference in the candidates, even though they may be all Republican. Well, I tell you what, before we go to the break, let me grab one more call. Line 5, Brian from Huntsville. Brian, how you doing today?
Mighty fine, and I hope you all are too.
We are indeed.
I was thinking about the people that can't make a decision, Republican or Democrat. They got ideas, but they can't commit to any of them. Couldn't go back to high school dances, and they could be named the Wallflowers.
Yes, they could.
Just a thought.
A thought. Thanks, man. I appreciate you. All right. Yeah, the wallflowers. That would be it. I called them the I don't know what I want hand ringers. He made it far more succinct. Maybe I should give him the microphone and just call them the wallflowers. All right. Listen, Copper, move us to a break. We'll come back and wrap up the day. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. This show has flown by. Flown by. How does 3 hours fly by? Well, it does when you have a radio show where people are all in. But yeah, it's 4:52 p.m. right now. I mean, some of you guys are already on the road going home. Be careful out there. Hey, I will say, by the way, we got a lot of listener response. I am reading right now is what I was trying to say. A tweet from David. I won't call out last names, but anyway, David has sent in. He says, with regards to that last conversation I think we were just having, he says, classic liberalism loved free speech and did not trust government. Leftists today really have nothing in common with classic liberalism. That is so true. That is so true. I mean, first of all, yes, we call them liberals now, and that tends to mean just the opposite of what classic liberalism was defined as. I mean, truthfully, classical liberalism was really a political ideology that dealt with things like the free market and sort of a laissez-faire economics. It protected civil liberties. It believed in the rule of law. That does not sound like what we call liberals nowadays, does it? I mean, what I basically described was in many ways a conservative viewpoint, at the very least, you know, perhaps even a more independent libertarian type viewpoint. But nonetheless, yes, I agree. Great tweet from David. I just hit like on it, and there it is. Other things happening right now. One story that I will point out that just popped up on Bongino Report. I go to Bongino Report because it's an aggregator. It pulls news stories in from all over the place, kind of like Drudge used to do, and then Drudge became very anti-Trump somehow, and I'm not sure how that happened. But anyway, so Bongino Report, top story, Biden's real options. This is the Washington Examiner. Biden's real options on abortion, if Roe goes, are extremely limited, his allies say. And so keep in mind, we've been talking a lot on the show today about what happens if this leaked opinion that came out becomes our reality, which right now, a story that I didn't even get to earlier that I had in my stack for the first part of my Triple Dipper, the pro-life protest, said that right now, the word on the street is that the five justices who have signed on to the overturning of Roe, they're not backing off. They're not. They're not backing off at all, that they're dug in, and they don't intend to change their ruling, that we will have a 5-4 majority opinion that says that, Roe will be overturned. Now, Joe Biden, though, has been saying, the article the Washington Examiner points out, he's been telling folks that he's going to do everything he can to protect abortion rights. And actually, he doesn't say it that way. It's more like, I'm going to do everything I can to protect abortion rights. But then he goes on to basically have no options. Like Texas passed their 6-month abortion ban, and Biden directed his gender policy council to work in conjunction with the Department of Health and Human Services and map out some executive actions he could take. Well, have they? No, because there's not much they can do. He forgets sometimes, or at the very least, he tries to pretend that he's the executive branch only. He is not the legislative branch. Now, the executive orders that he slings out there left and right are his attempt to legislate from the executive branch. But even still, every one of those things can be overcome if indeed the Senate and House flip to Republican in the midterms. So it's going to be interesting to see. But right now, in this article from the Washington Examiner, regarding Biden's efforts to sustain abortion procedures in the United States, quote, his options are extremely limited. The president has maintained since the campaign trail his administration stands firmly behind a woman's right to choose, but any action he might take will surely be challenged by Republicans in court. And that is true. Not only that, but I think you'll also see a blocking of it by legislative action, and not just Republicans in D.C. in court you'll see things like Attorney General Steve Marshall from Alabama and others like him that would take it to court. So there's that. What else we got out there? Crazy things happening on the war in Ukraine. We're seeing right now that apparently the Russians have finally taken Mariupol. But in doing so, it was not easy, and they have not gone out there and touted their victory, which leads some to believe that it did not come out as clean as they had hoped, and it certainly didn't go as fast as they hoped. We are hearing reports that most of the civilians that were still trapped inside of the Mariupol Azovstal steelworks have been evacuated. But the fact remains that the Russians just had their May 9th parade. May 9th is like their 4th of July. It's when they celebrate having beaten the Nazis in World War II. And they have these grand parades, and Putin made a big speech, and it was expected he was going to come out and potentially even change from making this a police action or military special action to making it into a declaration of war. He didn't. He also didn't claim victory in Kherson or Mariupol, and no one knows why. It's as if he went out there with the intent to make a firebrand speech, but he went tepid instead and just kind of said, we're doing the right things. We had to do this because the West provoked us. And people are scratching their heads. I saw General Jack Keane this morning who said that he believes that General Gerasimov, who is the new commander of Ukrainian forces, went far forward in the lines and came back and gave Putin the first real report of what's happening on the ground, after which Putin realized he could no longer go out there and say some of the things that perhaps he was planning to say. Speculation? Maybe. Rings true, though, because the intent that we see right now among leadership in the Soviet or in the Russian army is to not give Putin the real story. They're giving him what they just, you know, they're scared, so they give him what they want to give him. They don't give him what he needs to hear. That's interesting. All right, we got plenty more coming up. I got folks laid on all week long on the show. Great candidates, others running for statewide office and local office. We're going to be filled up from here until Friday. You guys are going to want to stay tuned. I mean, I can tell you right now, we got some that you're going to want to hear, and they are lined up through the week. Right now, we're off for the day. Coming up next, you got the great one, Mark Levin. Copper and I back here tomorrow at 2. You guys have an amazing night. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. It's an honor to have this platform. We'll talk to you tomorrow.